Drive time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. New year, seize the moment. Talk to a financial broker today about a Zurich pension.
Now, the Health Amendment Bill 2021, or in layman's language, the bill that is introducing a system of mandatory quarantine in the state, is being discussed in the Dáil this afternoon. The bill has been introduced by Minister Stephen Donnelly, and it's the first opportunity TDs will have had to examine the legislation. I'm joined now by People Before Profit TD Richard Boyd Barrett, by Antoinette Cunningham of the AGSI, and also by Dr. Cliona Ní Chealaigh, Consultant in Infectious Diseases. And thank you all very much for joining us this evening. Richard, I'll come to yourself first. You've been looking at the bill and the legislation. What do you make of it?
Yeah, it isn't, in truth, the legislation that we need to introduce the mandatory quarantine to prevent the importation of more of the virus and more of the variants that, if we continue to import them, will in effect undermine all the huge efforts and sacrifices that people are making. What it's doing instead is giving the appearance of introducing mandatory quarantine, but in fact only a very, very small number of countries will be listed for the mandatory quarantine provisions, and really pretty much the rest of the world can come here without being quarantined, and that completely defeats the purpose. I think is another sort of example, along with the announcements we had from the Taoiseach last night, of the really half measures the government are taking, which will continue to allow the virus to circulate, will actually mean a longer period of lockdown rather than doing what has been done in New Zealand, Australia and other countries to actually try and eliminate the virus, prevent its further importation and the importation of variants, and get us out of the lockdown.
Okay, so your main concern then is that it is not going to apply to everybody coming into the country, that there is a list of designated countries. Well, I don't think there's a list in the actual bill, but it does refer to designated countries. Now, the Taoiseach Leo Varadkar was asked about that on Morning Ireland this morning, why we aren't including everybody. And the point that he made was, why would you put someone from the Isle of Man into hotel quarantine when there's no COVID on the Isle of Man, for example?
Yeah, well, listen, that's a ridiculous example, because the vast majority of countries in Europe that are not on that list, and countries like the United States and many other countries where the virus levels are extremely high, where variants are present, are not on that list. It is a tiny list of 20 countries. I mean, it is absolutely true that if we pursued a zero COVID strategy, that you would potentially link up with other countries that had zero COVID and create green zones, if you like, on an international scale. But that's not what the government are doing here. They have picked a pretty arbitrary tiny number of countries where the vast, vast majority of countries in Europe and elsewhere, where we know the virus is present at high levels and variants are present, will be allowed to come in without quarantine. And that completely defeats the purpose of having it. And okay. I really want to emphasise, it undermines the huge efforts people are making. It's going to demoralise people and it's going to extend the period of lockdown. It's going
to guarantee... Okay, I understand your point on that. Yeah, I do understand your point. In terms of any detail that we've got today, do we have at this point any dates as to when this is likely to be coming into effect? Do we have any details in relation to how passengers will be transported to the hotels, where the hotels will be, what the exemptions will be? What do you make of any details that we do have?
In terms of dates, I mean, it's not clear. A lot of that is in the hands of the ministers, and it also require detail at regulation level, commencement orders and so on. But the fear is that it could be quite some time. But in any event, it's so full of holes, it doesn't really matter, in my opinion. But a very important element of the legislation I would want to stress are the provisions to essentially allow the outsourcing and subcontracting of a lot of the quarantine services. And it is noteworthy that in Australia, they do not allow that to be done. They don't allow agency workers to do the quarantine work because they're afraid of the virus being moved from one quarantine-related location to another.
What do you mean by agency workers, Richard? Are you talking about the security staff?
Everybody who could potentially be in contact with the virus or new variants coming in from the quarantine facilities. I mean, if you remember back even to our own nursing homes, one of the features of it was agency workers moving from nursing home to nursing home, where it was felt were responsible for spreading it from one place to another. So what you need is people directly employed by the health services and employed at fixed locations rather than them moving around from one location to another and spreading the virus.
Are we not stretched enough in the health service, though, in terms of other jobs that they have to be doing?
Well, isn't that the point? We need to recruit directly more healthcare workers to the health service.
All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you, Richard Boyd Barrett, People Before Profit TD, very much for joining us. As I said, we're also joined on the line by Antoinette Cunningham of the AGSI. And Antoinette, this bill has only been published this afternoon, so I don't know if you've had a chance to look at it, or do you know at this point exactly what the Gardaí are supposed to be doing when it comes to mandatory quarantine, what your role will be?
No, Sarah, we've absolutely no idea whatsoever. We have not got any operational instructions, guidelines in this area. We don't know what our role will be, if any, and we certainly have had no consultation or guidelines around that.
There are several mentions of the Garda Síochána in the bill. We had a chance to have a quick look at it before we came on air. Mainly, it would seem the Gardaí will be involved in relation to checks at the airport in relation to the country of origin and proof of a pre-booked hotel quarantine, and also if there are issues with people trying to leave hotel quarantine. I don't know, would that all be the role, do you reckon, of Immigration Gardaí at the airport, or do you know?
We don't know, but I mean, look, we have obviously Gardaí at the airports and ports, but they're a limited resource. I think you can appreciate that. What I thought was interesting, Sarah, was to see a statement from the policing authority yesterday who said while Gardaí may have a role in terms of responding to incidents at such facilities, they were quite clear when they said the transporting of persons and the supervision of persons staying at these facilities may not be the optimal use of limited Garda resources. Mm. Now, obviously, while the Commissioner is the operational commander and he will decide for us what our duties, if any, will be, as will the law, just to make the point, our concern would be the exposure to any health and safety and risk attached to such supervision or transporting or indeed any role that we would have in this. We don't know what our role is, Sarah. There's no point in saying we do, we don't. We listened to interest at the weekend to Minister Eamon Ryan on the Katie Hannan programme on Radio 1 saying that Gardaí were already playing a role in looking at people quarantining at home. And the amount of calls I got from sergeants and inspectors saying we haven't a clue what he's talking about.
Okay,
let's just
have a listen to exactly what Transport Minister Eamon Ryan did have to say when he was speaking to Katie Hannan on Saturday.
We do have that system, but the guards are checking. Like, the guards will call to the house of the people who are in those circumstances to check that they are where they say they are. And public health will follow up in terms of making sure we do the tests. And as I said, in this instance, that system works.
So he says that system works. The guards are checking. Are you saying the guards aren't checking?
I'm saying that no member of AGSI, sergeants or inspectors that I've spoken to, and I actually had a Zoom meeting today with about 8 sergeants and inspectors from around the country, none of them had a clue what he was talking about. If there's a limited role that maybe Gardaí attached to the immigration unit are playing, that is as may be, but the majority of frontline operational sergeants and inspectors that I represent have no clue. There's no operational instructions, there's no operational guidelines, and we simply don't know what he's talking about. When he says the Gardaí are checking, we do not know what he's talking about.
All right, because the Minister was very clear when he was speaking to Katie Hannan that while we're waiting for this legislation, which has just been introduced today, and we don't have a date for when that'll be operational for the hotel quarantine, while we're waiting for that to be in place, that the other system of mandatory quarantine, whereby people are now mandatorily required to isolate in their homes, that is underway and it is being operated and there are checks by the guards. But you're quite clear that that's not happening as far as you are aware.
Well, what I can say is if there are a small number of people attached to Garda immigration units doing that, it's certainly not within the operational instructions and guidelines issued to frontline sergeants and inspectors. When the Minister said it, we actually hadn't a clue what he was talking about. And I suppose, look, Sarah, we have to say that we have sought clarity on these matters from the Minister for Justice, who, as you know, is our own minister. And frustratingly, I have to say, I've written to the Minister for Justice every month for the last 3 months to try and seek to meet with her to raise some very valid issues around these very proposals about health and safety risks to members of sergeants and inspectors. For 3 months, I've been writing to try and meet the Minister for Justice. I do get acknowledgements of my letter. I still haven't succeeded in getting to meet her to talk about these things.
And what outstanding questions or concerns do you have at this point then?
Well, I suppose, look, if there is a role for sergeants or inspectors or Garda colleagues in transporting people to designated facilities, we would need to know that, Sarah. We'd like to explore, is there any risk attached to that? Is there an increased risk of catching COVID? Are we putting our members into a COVID-rich environment? What is it that we expect? What additional PPE would come in place? What protections are there for our members? Look, we've done a fantastic job, I think, as sergeants and inspectors with our Garda colleagues in policing COVID-19. We've stood up to every single request that has been asked of us. But our job as a staff association is to look out for the health and safety of our members, and we will continue to advocate in that regard, while at the same time carrying out the operation that we're required to do.
Okay, just finally, Antoinette, then, there's a section in the bill that clearly does say the Gardaí would have a role in detaining a traveller if they refuse to agree to quarantine when they are required to do so. What do you make of that?
Well, if that's contained in the bill, I can't comment on something that's the subject of political debate there. I think you'll appreciate that.
Okay.
But anything contained within it that would give increased risk or exposure to our members of contracting COVID-19 deserves the utmost of attention. It deserves the utmost of consultation. And those that are putting this through the Dáil might just consider that.
All right, Antoinette Cunningham, thank you very much for joining us. Antoinette Cunningham of the AGSI. Just to note, by the way, we did ask for a representative from government to come on the show this evening to discuss the mandatory quarantine plans, and there was no one available. We'll just come to yourself then, Cliona Ní Chealaí, consultant in infectious diseases. In terms of, we've very little detail really in the bill. It's not in the primary legislation that we can see in terms of the operational aspect of this and how it's going to work when it comes to the hotels. But I'm interested in your thoughts as to how it should work. I mean, for example, we spoke to Professor Mike O'Toole, who's a public health expert from the state of Victoria, the other day in the show, and he said they had gone so far in Australia as to only permit one hotel door to open on one floor at a time to try to contain the infection, because they had had experiences where if there were infected people in one room, the air when the door was opened would allow a lot of infection out into the hallway, and that had actually caused cross-contamination. Do you think we would be needing to go that far here then?
So I don't think we're there yet. Our levels in the community are so much higher than Australia's, and really we're not at that level of having almost that luxury of one transmission being something that our efforts are targeted at. We're not at that level of the war where we're mopping things up to that level. Potentially in time, but not now. I mean, I think really what we need to focus on now is the big areas of concern, which is a lot of travel, a lot of people coming in and out. It's very difficult to adhere to 14 days of complete isolation if you're isolating or quarantining in a family home or in a home with other people. Mm. So we're really talking about reducing that risk now with mandatory hotel quarantine.
Okay, so how much of a risk, in your view, are we facing as a country over the next month or so? Because it does look like we're looking at 3 or 4 weeks before mandatory hotel quarantine is in place. And we hear there from the AGSI that as far as they're aware, if there is policing of this, it is not happening on a wide scale that Antoinette Cunningham is aware of. So what sort of risk? Is it a low risk that we're facing over the next 3 or 4 weeks while we're waiting for mandatory hotel quarantine, or would you be more concerned about it than that?
I would be more concerned about it than that. I think the work that Paddy Mallon and colleagues did in UCD that showed, that we essentially got rid of all the COVID in Ireland over the summer, and then we reseeded with incoming travel to create that second wave in the autumn. And we know now that what we're dealing with is almost exclusively this new variant that was seeded through travel in December. So it absolutely is a real risk. And unfortunately, the guidelines are there for people to isolate after inward travel, but people don't seem to be obeying those guidelines. I'm sure there are many reasons for that, but it definitely is a risk.
And what then about the plan to actually have a list of countries from which people will have to mandatory hotel quarantine, and other people then can go to their homes and isolate themselves? Do you think that is the best way to go, Cliona? Do you understand the point made by the Taoiseach there earlier, that there's no point asking people coming from a very low COVID, low risk area to go into a hotel? Or do you think we should be asking everyone to go into a hotel?
Well, I think I suspect there are fairly few travellers coming in from the Isle of Man and Iceland, and there are lots more coming in from countries where there is a lot higher rates of COVID in the community and a lot higher rates of the mutations. And I think if you look at that list, I suppose it's harder to impose mandatory hotel quarantine on countries for certain economic or cultural reasons. So it's not, the countries that are on that list is actually a small subsection of the countries of concern. And the other issue with just limiting it to certain countries is that that you're always behind the curve. You know, you're always waiting until there's been an outbreak, there's been mutations, and then saying, okay, well, that country needs to go onto the red list or whatever, by which time it has potentially already spread into the community. So I think we need to think very hard about that. We probably need to think very hard about what messaging we're giving to people coming from, for example, the US and the UK, which aren't on those lists, but where there are patches of mutations of concern. And really perhaps something like checking in on people who are quarantining, being very specific about what they're being asked to do, being very specific about getting people not to engage in non-essential travel.
Okay, just very briefly then, Glina, in relation to the hotel quarantine, do you think hotel workers and security people who are working with people, incoming travellers, should they be tested regularly?
Yes. So I think we've seen that from Australia and New Zealand. And again, that's something that probably, you know, isn't a priority now when we're dealing with such a high volume of cases. But when we get our own cases right down and we're really able to focus in on trying to prevent any reseeding of cases into the community, then that is something that you need to look at. You know, how well trained are the security guards and hotel staff? How are they paid if they are out sick? How are they tested? Are they vaccinated? All of those things will become increasingly important.
All right, a lot of detail to rake over yet. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. That's Dr. Glina Ni Kiali, consultant in infectious diseases.